T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
How you say a cessation? Is that how you say that word?
I don't see the word.
Cessation.
Yes.
Can we get a definition?
And Chris Ello.
It's an operation that allows a baby to be born without
getting. No, that's a C-section.
Oh.
That's a C-section, Chris.
My bad. It's off.
We're not a science show.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, top of the happy hour to everybody. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 6:01 is the time. Final hour together on this Thursday. Tony Gwynn Jr. off today. Chris Ello along with Matt Scraby from our Odyssey Palace Studios here in San Diego. And getting right to it, joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, Odyssey Sports NFL insider Mark Herzlich. Insider calls brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for your time. And the NFL, I think everybody gets a little excited about the schedule. I don't know they don't overdo it a tad, but you know, whatever. I mean, it's kind of a show that they put together, and the NFL got the schedule out yesterday. What stood out to you?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think people get pretty excited about the schedule, and the NFL does a good job, right? They release the schedule at a time when nothing else football is happening, so people are going to talk about the schedule. The draft is over, most of the free agents have already signed, and now it's
yeah.
Let's talk the schedule. And I mean, I think that one of the best things that you're going to see is, you know, and everybody probably has circled already, and we've probably been talking about it a bunch, but week 4, right? The Bucs and Tom Brady are traveling to New England to face the Pats, that day will be anarchy, right? In Boston. I spent a lot of time up there, and it is going to be absolute mayhem. And then also the fact that, you know, people got, you know, their gears in the grind because, you know, not only is Tom Brady going to go up there to the Patriots, right? But the Bucs also have one of the easiest schedules, and they have just clear sailing, you know, right to the playoffs and possibly get another Super Bowl ring for Tom Brady. And to me, those are the types of things where you look at it and say, okay, what are the biggest teams going to get? Who has the easiest schedule? And then, you know, maybe who's going to be really, really hard?
Mark Herzlich with us here, Odyssey NFL insider on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. And this is this has been a bone of contention for me today, but I am not a fan of the early bye weeks. And everybody listening knows that I love my 49ers, and I know that the 49ers have a week 6 bye week. It's going to be a little bit different this year because they have 17 games. So the 49ers are going to have their bye week 6, and then they're going to play 12 weeks in a row. And if they have to play in the playoffs, they might be playing 13, 14, 15 weeks in a row. What do you think about the early bye weeks? Are you a fan of something like that, or would you rather have it later in the year?
I would much rather have it later in the year. You know, I always loved a bye week, you know, right at the end of October. You're getting ready for that November push, and, you know, I think a lot of coaches and a lot of players break the season up into really four quarters of four games apiece. Obviously, this year now, it's the first year they're going to add that extra 17th game, so you can't do that math as easily anymore. But you know, when you're able to push through September, push through October, and then you get like kind of that right in the midpoint where you can get guys healthy, because you know, if you win November, it sets you up so well for the playoffs. And you know, even those four games right there, a lot of times that's the swing between who's going to be the division champion or then out of the playoffs. So the early bye weeks to me, it's like you just got out of camp, right? And maybe you're tired, but I think the coaches usually do a pretty good job of understanding that. Later on is when you want to try to get your guys healthy for that playoff push.
How do they decide who gets the bye week when? Or is there any kind of magical formula to that? I know there's a magical formula to how they determine who you're playing, but how do they determine who gets what bye week when, or is it just luck of the draw?
Well, I think obviously there's a, you know, the formula you mentioned about, you know, who you play, your non-division opponents, you know, rotating it throughout the league, and you know, yeah, what place you finished in your division, all that stuff. And then, you know, I think what happens is you know who it's going to be. And then my guess, and I don't know this for sure, I'm sure it's a computer algorithm, right, that just says, okay, this is how we can line it up so all these teams can play each other that are supposed to play each other. Because, I mean, you know, that would be mayhem on its own. And, you know, there's a lot of very smart people at the league offices. However, I would assume that they count on computers for that.
So why does that computer hate the 49ers? Scraby wants to know.
I didn't say that. Chris asked it. No, he's joking. He's joking.
Yeah. Go ahead, Scraby.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking, I know we're talking a lot about the bye weeks, and that's been actually kind of a theme of the show, which is kind of weird. But at the same time, do you think as someone who's done it, that it puts your team back a little bit of the rest of the pack of the teams that have the bye week later in the season? I mean, is it a disadvantage for you to go week six bye?
So I think it's interesting. It depends on where your team is at in, I guess, you know, the life cycle of your organization. Do you have a young quarterback? Are you starting to try to figure out when you're going to place him in the mix? You look at the Dolphins last year, I guess it was. You know, they go on a run and they're riding high with Fitzmagic, and then really they get around the bye week and they say, okay, this is when we are going to now get our rookie some reps. And we're going to get him game ready, so that way when we come back from the bye week, we can start playing him. And so I think it depends upon what your team maturity is like. If you have guys who are healthy, who are veterans, you want to have that bye week later because you want to get their legs fresh again. If you got a team full of young guys and full of rookies, that early bye week isn't always such a bad thing because, man, they have never seen the live game before at this speed, at this intensity. And I'll tell you, I mean, it's just from my own experience rookie year, it's shell shocking. And you start to say, wow, like, gosh, man, you know, am I cut out for this? And then you convince yourself you are, but that reload session in week six can be beneficial for a team like that. And you know, 49ers just might be one of those teams, right, where it could be beneficial for them, you know, depending upon, you know, what they decide to do with the quarterback position and everything like that.
That was a good answer. That was a good answer.
Very good answer. NFL insider Mark Herzlick, Odyssey Sports NFL insider, joining us here to talk about the schedule release. And you're right, Mark. I mean, the NFL is just so smart. I mean, we can sit here and, you know, complain about how big of a deal they make about a schedule, but the fact of the matter is everybody's talking about the NFL this week, right in the middle of baseball season, right in the middle of the NBA playoff push, and we're focused on football, and that's just
and
brilliant. That's just brilliant.
And bye weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It really, truly is. How about I think everybody kind of looks at the primetime games. Do the players look at the primetime games, and how much do they like them? As somebody who played before, I mean, this got to be kind of exciting, opening up Christmas present to see that, yeah, I got a Sunday night game here, I got a Monday night game there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the first thing that a player looks for is, first you look for when your bye week is, right? Because you just want to know when that is. And then you want to know, okay, when do we play a Thursday night game? And if so, you're saying, oh my gosh. Like, you just don't want Thursday night games. They're rough. But then at the same time, you say, okay, well, what's following that Thursday night game? Because you know you're going to have a couple days off, and it becomes a mini bye week. And then you transition to, who are we playing later in the season? And I just hope it's not the Packers. I hope it's not the Bears. I hope don't have to go someplace freezing cold in December. So, yeah, it's funny. Like, that's the mindset of the players. At least that's what my mindset was. In terms of, like, prime time versus, you know, 1 o'clock game versus 4 o'clock game, to me, it was just like, I know I'm playing Sunday. Put me on the field whenever it is. Let's go. And, you know, playing for the New York Giants when I did, it just, the media market, we always had primetime games.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I do know for some of the guys who, you know, we played the Jaguars, I think maybe in primetime or something like that. And their guys were like pumped about it because they just didn't get many of them. Like, you know, and so if you're in one of those media markets that don't get primetime games, then maybe you're feeling a little bit differently, but I never had that experience.
We're talking to Mark Hertzlick, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider here on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. All right, done with the schedule, at least for me. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers because everybody's trying to break down that schedule, but I can't think that you can accurately break down the schedule without knowing that if Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Packer or not. And I get the feeling that he would rather retire than be a Packer again. That's just from what the reports I'm reading. What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and maybe how he's handled everything in the last couple weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, my thoughts really are that he's made up his mind. You know, I think that I think he kind of put it out there. He made his stance known. And I think what he's done is kind of dig deeper and deeper into that stance the longer and longer this has gone on. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, a few years ago, you know, the reports that, you know, he's estranged from his own family, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they speak very much either, and which is a shame, and you wish that would change. But, you know, in a sense, I think Aaron has this idea that, look, I make a decision and I'm going to stick to it. And I think that if he walks away now from the game, if say he decides, look, I'm not playing for the Packers anymore. If you don't trade me, I'm still not playing. You're going to have to cut me or I'm just going to retire. And I think that at that point, he understands that he is going to put the evil villain arrow pointed directly at the Packers organization, because while people might say, oh, he's unhappy, oh, he's spoiled, or whatever it may be, all he's saying is, I want to play somewhere else besides here. And it's moments like these where you really realize how much of a monopoly the NFL is. It's one of the very few legal monopolies left in America where ownership can have your contract. They have the ability to cut you or trade you, but you do not have the ability to go look for work in another city, another state, or another organization. So I think that that's what Aaron's logic is. He said, I would much rather just wait this out, see how it goes, and if I have to retire, then I will retire on top and I will be blameless.
We'll see if he's blameless. I think there's a lot of people in Green Bay that wouldn't think he's too blameless, but we'll see.
That's what's going on. That's what's going on in his brain.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's what's going on in everybody's brain.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Mark Hertzlick, NFL insider from Odyssey Sports. Last thing, Mark, the draft is over. We've had a little time to digest it all, and not getting into too many specifics. Was there a team somewhere along the line that you think really nailed it? And kind of moves up in your thinking for next season, or maybe a team that messed it up and drops down a little bit?
I think the Ravens did a really good job in their draft class, and you know, really, to be honest, the Miami Dolphins had a lot of picks. I think they came away with the guys that they wanted. You know, they got Jalen Waddle with, you know, great dude. I think that Jalen Phillips, to me, I had him as my number one defensive player on my board in general. I got to see him play a lot this year. I think he is absolutely fantastic. And then, you know, they down the draft too in day two, you know, they got Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame, who, you know, could potentially be a starting tackle, as well as Hunter Long out of Boston College, my alma mater, who led the nation in pass receptions for a tight end. So, I mean, when you look at just not only just the first pick or first round, but the entire thing from start to finish, I think the Miami Dolphins had a fantastic draft.
Did Scraby tell you I was a Dolphin fan?
No, I didn't.
You didn't tell him?
I didn't.
No,
that was just
an
unsolicited appreciation.
We even have this ready to go because he's such a Dolphin fan.
Yes, that plays way too often on the show. Hey, Mark, thanks so much for the insight. Enjoyed it. It's fun to talk NFL football at any time, and we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we'll talk some more a little bit later on when we get around training camp. Appreciate the insight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
You bet. Good stuff. Mark Hertzlick joining us there on the Insight, the premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. And you can save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Also, Insider Calls brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. He brought up a good point about your whiny Niners.
Okay.
Scraby. I'm not even going to call them the phony Niners anymore. I'm going to call you the whiny Niners because you're just
Don't
whiny.
Generalize them by me.
Yeah, and that's not fair to throw them all under the bus and compare them to you. But, you know, he brought up a good point. Now, they probably are going to be sick and tired of Jimmy Garoppolo by the bye week in week six.
They're going to move the Trey
Lance.
So
they'll
Lance.
Have a couple of weeks and to you know, put Trey Lance into the mix and get him going.
I thought you were going to be constructive with your comment.
The week six, but the bye week will be very, very well-timed for the whiny Niners.
So you're calling stop calling them that.
you're calling them the
week seven Trey Lance starts.
Nah, week one.
Week one.
I don't know.
I love it how people you're gonna get me. Going.
You're the one that just gave up on Jimmy Garoppolo.
I did not.
Me.
No, I did
you
not
totally
give up on Jimmy
gave
G.
up on
what,
him.
I was just about to say, people are always talking about how Jimmy G is injured all the time. Will he even make it to week six? He sprained his ankle last year because of the turf at the Meadowlands Stadium, and other people were being hurt in that game, too. I don't know how you can train to not sprain your ankle. Sorry. That's not his fault.
Who do the 49ers open against, Scraby? You
don't
even know, do you?
No, I do.
You
I don't
even know who your first game's
the
against.
They actually have a really tough schedule. They go.
How does opening with the Lions lead into a tough schedule?
Because they have to travel. They go at Detroit, at Philadelphia. Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Two games in a row on the road. Can they handle
on the road in the East time zone?
Can they handle it? Oh, I don't think they can handle it. They're professional football players. I don't think they'll be able to handle that. And then they come home and lose to Green Bay. So they're going to be 0-3.
Oh, you're going
to
say
they're
going
to be calling for Jimmy G's head.
You're going to say that they're going to lose to the Aaron Rodgers-less Packers?
Yes. Okay. They're going to lose all those games.
All right.
You already said they're going to lose the first two games to the Lions and the Eagles because they have to travel to the Eastern time zone 2 weeks in a row. It's over. The whiny Niners eliminated from contention in 2021 because their bye week is in week six.
I'm just going to stop talking.
Yes, that would be good. Hey, how about a round? Where's the round of applause when we need it?
Scraby!
Gwynn and Chris continues in just a moment. 97.3 The Fan. Show's coming alive here at 6:24. Not that it's been dormant previously. Scraby, talk for a second. I might have to sneeze.
Okay. Well, I can just tell you that everybody loves this bed here in the building. I've been told to use it many times.
I didn't have to sneeze.
Oh, no, okay. I saw you over there.
All right. NBA, quick note. Portland Trail Blazers, 41-29. Dallas Mavericks record, 41-29. Los Angeles Lakers, 40-30. So right now the Lakers are the 7th seed. That means they'd have to play in the play-in game. The only way the Lakers can make up the ground is for Portland to lose its final two games or Dallas to lose its final two games, and the Lakers have to win their last two.
There's nothing more than I want to see.
Then the Lakers have to play the Warriors in the play-in game?
That LeBron James has to play in the play-in game that he so deeply hates.
You mean whiny James?
Oh, you would never say that if Tony was here.
No, I wouldn't. I have too much respect for Tony and his Lakers. But anyway, Dallas finishes up with Toronto and Minnesota, two of the worst teams in the league.
And those guys are just trying to get to the end of the year.
So the Lakers are not catching Dallas. The only team they're going to be able to catch is Portland. And Portland plays tonight at Phoenix and then finishes at home with Denver. Now, they could lose both those games. I mean, those are two pretty good teams,
yeah.
Phoenix and Denver. The Lakers finish up this weekend on the road against Indiana and New Orleans. Anyway, my point here is Portland plays at Phoenix tonight. Basically, if Portland wins that game, Lakers better pack their bags and get ready for the play-in game because they're not going to catch Portland and they're not catching Dallas. So the Lakers will be playing the Warriors, it looks like, in that play-in game.
See, here's where
that's if Portland beats Phoenix tonight, and that's not an easy task because Phoenix is at the top of the league.
They are. And here's what I don't really get about these playing games to begin with. I know why they did it last year, but we always talk about how 8 teams is way too many anyway. Why do we need the Washington Wizards at 32-38 in the playoffs? I don't need that. I'd much rather just have the standings.
Well, they're trying to keep more teams involved.
Exactly.
I mean, the Chicago Bulls are 29-40.
They're nowhere on this list over here.
That's pathetic. But they are still mathematically alive.
So are the Wizards at 32-38.
Well, the Wizards are actually in the playoffs.
Which is crazy.
Right now. It's crazy, but their point is, A, they want more teams involved. B, all of these games between the 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds mean a great deal right now. Because teams want to avoid the play-in. So by extending the playoffs, they've made so many more games in the regular season mean something. And it's actually working in the NBA's favor because this game between Portland and Phoenix tonight wouldn't mean a thing. Otherwise, they're both in the playoffs. Instead, it's a big deal. If Portland wins, they knock the Lakers into the play-in round.
Which would be sweet.
Well, so you're basically backing up the NBA's theory here.
I'll be watching that tonight for that reason.
Right. You'll be rooting for Portland to beat Phoenix so that it'll knock the Lakers into the play-in game.
Big Dame fan.
Damian Lillard, man. Mm-hmm. He's good. I kind of like how the play-in's going to work. Nobody understands it out there, but to the best of my knowledge, what happens is the Grizzlies would play the Spurs in the West.
Yes.
The loser would be done for the year.
Yes.
All right? That's one elimination game.
Mm-hmm.
The other game would be between the Lakers and the Warriors.
Yeah.
The winner would go into the playoffs as the 7 seed.
Yes. You're looking at the same graphic, I think.
And then the loser plays the winner of the Memphis-San Antonio game for the other spot.
Yes.
And then There's only three games. There's only 3 extra games in each conference. So it's not a whole lot of action, but it's 3 games that are packed with tenseness because there's so much at stake. The first game between Memphis and San Antonio, you're playing for your whole season just to stay in it. If you're the Lakers and the Warriors, you're playing to advance to the playoffs. And then the third game is going to be another elimination game. So 2 of the 3 games are for elimination. I think it's very exciting. I think it was a stroke of genius by the NBA. They kind of lucked into it. They came up with the idea last year just to kind of make it work with the COVID season, and now they've implemented it for, you know, what's basically a real season. And I think it's really good. I have a pretty good chance even of watching Charlotte play Boston in the East just to see who advances.
I'm not going to watch that game.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Okay, good. At least you admitted it.
I'm not going to go that far, yeah. But I'll keep an eye on it to see who wins. How's that?
I've softened on my stance as we've gone through this whole thing about the play-in tournament. I just wish it was. It's not complicated, but it is complicated. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I know what you're saying, that you don't want to see a team that's under 500 in the playoffs. But you know what? The Washington football team was 7-9 last year, and nobody seemed to have a problem with them going into the playoffs.
Are you kidding? There was a huge problem with them going into the playoffs.
Well, if anybody should have had a problem with it, it would be
Giants
and the Dolphins fans, who were 10-6 and did not make the playoffs. But you know what? I didn't have a problem with it.
Well, because they're in separate conferences.
Well, that's right. You are where you are. And your job as an NFL team at the beginning of every season is to beat the other three teams in your division and win your division. And Washington did that. Miami did not. Miami's... So Washington gets to go to the playoffs. Miami does not. That's the way it works.
And Miami also had the Buffalo Bills to overtake.
Yeah, but you know
what?
The
Washington football team had to beat the, like, three or four win Eagles.
Yeah, but sometimes the Eagles are a Super Bowl team, and Washington has to beat them. And Buffalo is a pathetic team, and all Miami has to do is beat them.
For the history of Buffalo.
So it all goes in...
For the most part.
It goes in cycles. It's okay. It's not a perfect world. It doesn't have to be a perfect sports world. Does have to be a quick timeout, though. When we come back, one final segment of Gwen and Chris for good Thursday. Nice work today, Scraby.
You too.
Nice job out there on the phones by everybody. We've had a good day. Tony Gwynn Jr. has had a chance to refresh, get a day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, Mark Melanson is our Friar Friday guest tomorrow. He'll be on the show about 3:30, so make sure you join us for that. But don't go anywhere now, because we've still got some fun surprises ahead for you on 97.3 The Fan. 6:38 is the time. Welcome back to the program. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby. Together today, Tony Gwynn Jr. getting a much-deserved rest, day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Mark Melanson on the program tomorrow, 3:30, our Friar Friday interview. Make sure you join us for that and the rest of the program. This hour brought to you by Vons and Albertsons. Outdoor entertaining begins with great deals at Vons or Albertsons. Fire up the grill.
Yes.
And enjoy savings on favorites like USDA Choice Beef Tri-Tip Roast, untrimmed, now just $4.79 a pound. I may have to go buy 6 or 7 pounds. With club card where applicable. I do have a club card, so I'm set. Valid
nice.
Through May 18th. Vons and Albertsons, thank you very much.
How did you get that club card?
I've had a club card for like 30 years. I don't
Man,
know.
You're Always part of an exclusive one. Club.
Yeah, very exclusive club. having a Vons card is something to write home about. All right. I gotta point this out. Quick story here.
Uh-oh.
You know, I got ejected from our softball game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
And that being a Wednesday night beer league softball game makes me kind of sound like I take things a little bit too seriously.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't too bad. But I'm not the hottest head in sports.
Ooh.
Beating me out for the honor, Udonis Haslam.
Oh, I saw this.
Of the Miami Heat. Haslam took 5 months this year to get into a game for the Miami Heat. He checked in with 59 seconds to go in the first quarter of what is Miami's final home game of this season. He got a standing ovation. He's in his 18th year.
That's crazy.
And he's been around, and the Heat fans love him. But
he's a Miami guy.
Right. He went to the University of Florida, the whole thing. Haslam played a total of 3 minutes tonight before he got into it with Sixers center Dwight Howard. Howard threw him to the ground on one possession. Haslam sat there for a moment, appeared to gather his thoughts, eventually got up, the next whistle, got into Howard's face before shoving him, and that resulted in Haslam being ejected from the game. So after waiting 5 months to be activated, Udonis Haslam made it for only 3 minutes.
Have you seen the video of this?
It happened, what, tonight or last night?
It happened today, I believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen the video, no.
It's a weak ejection.
Weak, kind of like mine.
Yeah, if you two were up for ejection, he definitely deserved the ejection. Mm-hmm. But he kind of just points his finger in Dwight Howard's face, and
yeah,
it's kind of weak.
Don't throw me down.
Yeah.
We're throwing you out.
Yeah. I don't get that. Come on, referees. It's the guy's last home game. He's probably, I don't know if he's coming back next year.
Yeah.
This might be his last.
Referees should have taken that into consideration, you're saying?
Yes. It didn't really matter at the time.
Right. All right, earlier on the program, we previewed the St. Louis Cardinals, who are coming to town to take the Padres on this weekend, rematch of last year's NL playoff series. Joining us on the premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline to talk about the Cardinals is Kevin Wheeler. From KMOX Sports, we'll find out more about Kevin Wheeler, the Cardinals, and KMOX Sports right after we check traffic. Joining us from KMOX Sports right now, Kevin Wheeler. Kevin, thanks for the time. Give us a little, just a quick history on KMOX and the wattage and how many people can actually. No, seriously, because 50,000
watts.
Is it 50,000? They can hear you everywhere, right?
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. Yeah, it's 50,000 watts. Basically, if you're east of the Rockies, you can pick up the station at night.
Wow.
It does depend on, you know, on weather and stuff like that, right? But, you know, I'll flash back to 2011 after the World Series win. We were getting texts and phone calls in the post-game show from Toronto, from Florida. You know, I grew up in Detroit, actually, and I used to listen to the Cardinals games on KMOX and listen to Jack Buck when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
The Tigers games would end, and then I'd just flip over to 1120 because I knew I could hear it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know people, I have family that lives in Alabama. They're Cardinal fans. I have family that lives in Tennessee. They're Cardinal fans. There's no Major League Baseball teams there. They all became Cardinal right. fans because of KMOX. So it's great to have you on the program today. Cardinals are red hot. They won today. Let's talk a little bit about today's game because Jack Flaherty becomes the Majors' first seven-game winner. That's really actually good news for the Padres because they're going to miss Jack Flaherty this weekend. And the Padres haven't missed too many aces this year. They've caught most of everybody's aces, but he's having a great start to the season. And he beat Corbin Burnes, who finally walked somebody.
Yeah, it was crazy today. You know, like this whole series was great starting pitching, right? I mean, the first game, it was 1-1 into the 11th, and then the Cardinals scored 5 in the 11th, so it kind of blew up there. Yesterday was 1-1 into the bottom of the eighth, and Milwaukee scored 3 there. And then today it was basically the same thing. So we saw a ton of great pitching in the series. And, you know, you mentioned Flaherty. I mean, you know, his numbers look great, don't they? I mean, you're looking at 7-0 with a 2.47 ERA after the game today. But that doesn't even count the fact that he gave up 6 earned runs in the first game of the year on opening day. And since then, he's got a 1.20 ERA. So I'd say you're right. It's a good time to be missing Jack Flaherty, for sure.
Yeah, we were talking with Kevin Wheeler of KMOX Sports in St. Louis on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. And the storyline, at least for me, I've been thinking about this a lot, about the Cardinals coming back to San Diego for the first time since last year's playoffs. And unfortunately, the team's going to look a little bit different because of all the COVID positives right. that the Padres have gotten the last couple days. But my question is, is this a series that the Cardinals are amped up for because they want to get revenge on being eliminated from the playoffs last season?
I mean, I think there's probably an element of the fan base that'll think that way. I would be surprised if the players and the coaching staff looked at it that way just because, number one, it's so early in the year. You know, it's not like a big September series or, you know, close to the buildup of the playoffs. And, you know, the truth is that, you know, a lot of us really enjoy the Padres. I mean, they're a hell of a team, and they're a lot of fun. And, you know, it wasn't fun watching them blow up in the middle of that series last year because, you know, the first part of the series, the Cardinals fans were like, wow, this is all right, man. We're okay. We can hang with these guys. And then all of a sudden the energy flipped, and it was like, well, maybe not. It's going to be an interesting offseason. But, you know, I think most people are just looking forward to it because it's such a fun team. And, you know, we all are big fans of Tommy Pham, too. You know, he was a popular guy here with the fan base. And look forward to seeing how, you know, just how that flies. But I'd say that
there's probably a little bit of that, you know, kind of like, hey, let's get a little get back. But let's be honest, man, do you really get any quote unquote payback in May if you lost to them in October?
No, yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, if you like Tommy Pham, there's about 500,000 Padre fans who would be more than happy to let you have him back. He's obviously struggling so far this year. I keep trying to tell everybody that Tommy Pham's a hell of a player and he'll get it going, but it has been a struggle for Tommy so far. Let's talk about another Tommy, Tommy Edman, who's from La Jolla here in the San Diego area, and we keep an eye on his career. He was the guy who drew the walk against Corbin Burns today after 58 strikeouts in a row to start the season. Finally, Edman drew a walk today to break the spell. But talk a little bit about him as a player and a developing player and what he means and what the feeling is from the fans in St. Louis on Tommy Edman.
Well, you know, Tommy's the newest, newish fan favorite, right? I mean, he's not new to the team. He came up in 2019. But from that point, you know, he started to become a popular player because he plays with a lot of energy. He's a hell of a lot of fun. And he actually really hit in 2019. Like, he put up some really nice numbers. So it doesn't hurt when you produce, right? It's easy to become a fan favorite when, you know, you're not only fun to watch and you're versatile and you're exciting and you have a good personality, but also, you know, when you're pounding the baseball a little bit, people are going to get even more excited about it. What we've seen him grow into, though, is kind of one of the stabilizing forces on the team, right? I mean, one of the biggest questions for the Cardinals coming into this year was, how's the top of the order going to look, right? Colton Wong had been the leadoff guy and, you know, pretty good on-base skills for Wong, and he's obviously a great defender. And Tommy Edman has taken over now as the primary second baseman, and he's been great. He's been great defensively. He doesn't walk a lot, which is kind of funny. It's ironic that he's the guy that draws the walk on Corbin Burns, because he doesn't walk very much. But he puts the ball in play consistently. He hits the ball hard. We've seen him play some corner outfield. He plays third base. We know that well. He played shortstop today because Paul DeJong was out with some kind of rib discomfort. He got hit with a pitch the other day, and we're not sure if it's that or if it's an oblique type thing. But either way, he was out. So, you know, you're seeing a versatile guy that really has been a stabilizing force at the top of the order. And, like, I mean, this is not a guy that was touted as a big-time prospect, right? I mean, the sixth-round pick, you know, he's a college guy. He wasn't really looked at as a top 100-type prospect, but he is incredibly valuable to the team. I mean, he does so many things for them.
Kevin Wheeler of KMOX Sports out in St. Louis here with us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Nolan Arenado is someone who, he just fits well with the Cardinals. I don't even blink an eye when I see him in a Cardinals uniform. What has he done so far to change the chemistry of this team? Because it seems like they are much more, not that they're more competitive, but it seems like he's given them another edge that, you know, a lot of the other teams around baseball don't really want to have.
Yeah, I would say that first part that you said there is actually true. Like, he definitely makes a big difference, right? I mean, he lengthens the middle of the lineup. If you didn't have him, who's hitting cleanup? I mean, like, they don't really have anybody that fits that description. In fact, one of the things they've been dealing with here early is trying to figure out who the heck's going to bat fifth on a regular basis. And, you know, when Molina has been healthy, he's actually hit real well this year. So when he's in the lineup, he's kind of slid up into that role. But I mean, you know, Arenado is two big things for this team. One, his defensive identity fits with what this team wants to be, right? I mean, they value pitching and defense first. And when you look around, I mean, they've got a bunch of Gold Glove winners. They've got two Platinum Glove winners with Molina and Arenado. They cover great ground in the outfield. You've got three guys out there that can run and play enough to play in center field. And, you know, you look at Tyler O'Neill and you see kind of a big muscle-bound guy, but he's actually like in the top 3 or 4% in baseball in sprint speed. So you've got three guys out there that can go get it. You've got Gold Glove winners or finalists at every position but second base in the infield. And Tommy Edman, as we mentioned, is the second baseman, and he's been really good there defensively. So Arenado fits that. And then he's also the big bat that you've been missing. Right? They needed somebody to fit in, whether you hit him third or fourth or whatever. They needed somebody that they could put in the middle of that order to drive in runs. And obviously, he's doing a pretty good job of that.
Kevin Wheeler, KMOX, St. Louis. The Cardinals are coming to town. First meeting, obviously, since last year's great playoff series. The Padres won in exciting fashion, 2-1 over St. Louis. But Right now, Cardinals come in first place in the NL Central. They're three games up on Milwaukee. They've won 11 out of 14 games, so playing real well. Kevin, talk a little bit about the pitchers we're going to see this weekend. Johan Oviedo makes a start on Friday night, coming back after two early starts this season. And then Adam Wainwright, I mean, I think there's probably people who thought he retired 3 years ago, but he's still getting it done. 3.80 ERA. I mean, not too bad for an old guy. I always root for the old guys. And then Kwon Young Kim, we saw him in the playoff here last year as well. So those are the three that the Padres will see this weekend.
Yeah, you're getting three really different guys, and they all throw the ball well. I mean, Oviedo is obviously a young guy, and when he has troubles with command. It's kind of, you know, it's one of the things that probably kept him from being one of those elite prospects that you rank in the top 100, you know, like on MLB.com or Baseball America or whatever. But, I mean, you're going to see him. I mean, he's 6'5", 240 pounds. He's huge. He's got a fastball that averages 96.5, 97 miles an hour as a starter. He's got a wipeout slider. So when he throws strikes, he's tough. But obviously, you know, he's a young guy, and when he's not throwing strikes, it's a little bit easier to center up on those guys. So you'll see a big right-hander with stuff tomorrow. And then obviously Wainwright, I mean, it's a 6'7" righty, but he's not about the power anymore. He's a 89, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, but he's got the great curveball that people still haven't figured out. He's mixed in a cutter in recent years to kind of complement all of that. And, you know, he's just a pitch maker. I mean, I think we all know Waino's profile pretty well. And then Kwon Young Kim is such a tough guy, man. He's not getting deep into games, and they would really like him to go, you know, six or seven innings more often than he does. But he has something for every at-bat. Like, if you watch him pitch, he's got four or five different pitches, and he's got pitches that move to the arm side, pitches that move to the glove side. He's got stuff that sinks. He's got stuff that holds its velocity and its level a little bit better. I mean, he just comes at you in a million different ways. I think that's what makes it tough for hitters. Cause again, he's not a 94, 95 mile an hour guy. He's a, you know, low 90s kind of guy, mostly around 90 miles an hour, but he definitely gives you about five different looks as you go through the order a couple of times.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate the preview on the Cardinals. It's going to be a fun series. Good to get these two teams back together again. Hopefully we'll not only see you guys this weekend, but see you, you know, maybe in October. Who knows? These are two really good teams. Cardinals have seemed to get it into gear a little bit before the Padres have, but should be a fun weekend. Thanks for all your insight, and keep up the good work at KMOX. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime, you guys, man. It was a good time talking ball.
All right, there he is, Kevin Wheeler from KMOX Sports on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Yes, please do find some new roads, because the roads we've got out there are a little too crowded. 6:54 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Just enough time to wrap things up. It's Thursday the 13th, Scraby. Does that mean... Who decided that Friday the 13th was bad luck?
I don't know.
Not Thursday the 13th.
No, I don't know. Did you see my shirt yesterday?
Thursday the 13th is more alliterative.
Alliterative.
Thursday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th is not alliterative at all. Thursday the 13th is quite alliterative. I was thinking of that earlier. By the way, if you want to watch me on television out there, you can. I don't highly recommend.
Are you on like the Real Housewives of San Diego?
The Real Housewives? Yes, I'm a Real Housewife.
Okay.
If I was, my wife would be watching me on TV because she watches all those. No, I'm on the television show on Channel 51, KUSI. It's called On the Air with Sully, Rusty Nails, and Little Tommy. It airs 11 a.m. this Saturday. Wow. 11 a.m. this Saturday on Channel 51.
Putting it in my
KUSI.
Calendar.
It's an hour long. It's a radio show on TV, basically.
Okay.
We just kind of all sit around and talk. There's a band that plays some music.
Oh.
And Ginger Jeffries is a guest on the show. She's a KUSI anchor, news anchor.
What do you guys talk about?
Well, a little of everything.
Okay.
Some behind-the-scenes stuff here at the radio station.
Interesting.
And my career. And
did my name come up at all?
We taped it about a week and a half ago. I don't remember.
All right. Well, I'm not watching them. Just kidding.
I'll tell you all about it. So that's Saturday at 11 if you care. Another Gwynn and Chris show tomorrow at 3. Mark Melanson, a guest. See you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.